Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
There's been one demand, and that's holding up that Lombardi trophy, period. That's all I care about, is holding that trophy up and holding that trophy up here.
The prime thing is you have to win. You have to win. Otherwise, you can't be a success in professional football.
You're listening to The State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of State of the Nation, post-game edition here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am Jimmy Durkin, joined, as always, by Vic Tafer, Ted Nguyen, and Tashawn Reed. The Raiders victorious again. They are red hot, 27-20 over the Los Angeles Chargers. Devontae Adams goes off, a huge game from him. Josh Jacobs, 150 yards of total offense. He just continues his monster season. And the Raiders' defense allows just one touchdown in this game. Really an impressive performance by them. The pass rush got after Justin Herbert. They really took advantage of that poor and banged up Chargers offensive line. And we're not ready to declare this team alive, but this is the team that I think we thought we were going to see, where the offense was going to be electric, capable of making big plays. And you just wanted to see if their defense could make enough plays. And this was absolutely the formula that we expected to see coming into the season. And it's taken a while. We're in week 13, but we're starting to see it now.
Yeah, the secret is Derek Carr crying, man. I mean, ever since then, can't fuck with the Raiders. I mean, it's scoring 30 points a game. And Josh Jacobs can't be stopped. Devontae Adams can't be stopped. But no, I mean, this is, as you said, this is the offensive production that we expected. It still isn't the offense that we thought it was going to be, because Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow aren't out there. But then that makes it even more impressive that they're having this sort of output, you know, against teams that have good defenses, except for the, you know, Chargers defense, you know, isn't good. But we saw them against the Broncos and the Seahawks, pretty solid defense. So it's not like they're just doing this against a bunch of scrubs. And it seems like they're really starting to figure it out. And it's kind of intangible, but you can kind of feel that they're gaining their confidence. Really, the script at the beginning of this game was kind of similar to their first Chargers matchup. They fell into an early double-digit lead deficit, and they had to dig themselves out of it. And the first time around, they pretty much folded under pressure and got away from them until pretty late in the fourth quarter. This time, you know, it was a calmness about them. They responded and ultimately really took control of the game pretty quickly early on there in the second half. And so you can tell that they're making progress, which it wasn't there at all at the beginning of the season. They just kept doing the same thing over and over. But something seems to have clicked in these last few weeks. And they're kind of starting to – we're not ready to say they're alive and going on a postseason run again and all that. But it seems like they're taking steps and building towards where they want to get to.
We talked about it before on the pod, but I think in that Broncos game is where they started to really kind of figure things out. And I think early in the season, you know, when you get a number one receiver like Devontae Adams, defenses – defend you differently. And I don't think Derek Carr has ever seen these type of defenses that he was seeing with Devontae Adams. Like, teams were defending the Raiders like they were defending the Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce Chiefs, you know, where they're like double bracketing these guys and leaving everybody else one-on-one, and they're trying to figure out like the balance between forcing the ball to Devontae Adams and then attacking these one-on-ones in different areas. And I think they really figured out a nice balance of when they want to go to Adams, how to force the issue, and when they have one-on-ones, they know when to attack. You know, like, Adams didn't have a catch for a little while in this game, and later on they figured, you know, as soon as he gets one-on-one, they hit him on a fade for a touchdown, for his first touchdown. And now they have this interplay between, you know, if you're going to put two safeties back, we know how to run the ball. And when you bring that safety in, when we could pass the ball over your head. I don't remember ever seeing a play caller call this many flea flickers in my life. I think Josh McDaniels called a ton of flea flickers, and it works because defenses are playing too high against Devontae Adams. But when they play too high, they have to trigger really quickly when they see a Josh Jacobs handoff. So as soon as you see that handoff, that safety's coming up. And that's exactly what happened with that touchdown to Adams. So they're figuring out when to attack one-on-ones, when to force the ball to Adams, when to run the ball. And it's a nice balance going on right now.
Yeah, it's a great 1-2 punch. I mean, you look at the rest of the league and you got to look at Adams and Jacobs' production this year, probably two of the top 10 guys in the league as far as production. So it's a great 1-2 punch to have an offense. And today defensively, you saw Chandler Jones, 3 sacks, and he and Max Crosby were getting pressure on the quarterback. Max should have had a sack in that first play. I gave him a forced fumble, but it should have been a sack as well in the first play of the game. So you saw the defense and the crowd kind of feeding off each other, and place got very loud at the end of the game, and kind of it was a very cool atmosphere. This is what they, like you said, this is what they had in mind when they got these guys together, and the confidence is definitely up now. So here they are. They've won 3 in a row, and they're somehow they're alive. So it's been kind of a cool turnaround.
Vic said the word.
What'd I say?
They're alive.
They're alive.
I mean, you talk about the flea flickers. I mean, if you look at Jacobs and Adams, you've got to say right now, is that the most dangerous running back in the league and the most dangerous receiver in the league right now? I mean, if they're not, they're in the top 3 in each of those. So it's it really is a hell of a combination. And I mean, if you're Derek Carr and the offensive line, I mean, played really well, I think. I mean, they they weren't really able to bother Carr that much. We spent a lot of time worrying about how bad this offensive line was going to be, and you know, we said throughout, really, you know, even during the losing early in the season, that even though they were losing, it wasn't really the offensive line's fault. And now we're starting to see, I mean, a group that is obviously paving the way for the NFL's leading rusher, and giving Carr enough time to be able to make some plays down the field.
It's a pretty dramatic difference between week one against the Chargers and this week against the Chargers. It felt like, you know, every critical down in week one, they were able to just get like instant pressure. And obviously Joey Bosa not playing is a huge factor, but it just seemed like Carr had such clean pockets today that, you know, when you watch those two games, it just seems like two different offensive lines. So, you know, I think we got to give some credit to the coaching staff, and I have to look up the offensive line coach's name because it's hard to pronounce. We got to give them credit for coaching these guys up, finding the right combination, even though, you know, that whole rotating offensive line was weird. But I think, you know, they found the right combination of guys now.
Yeah. Shout out to Carmen Brasillo, his offensive line coach.
Carmen Brasillo, there you go.
And assistant offensive coach Cam Clemens, this guy was around last year from the previous staff. And, you know, early on in the season, I mean, Josh Daniels gave him a lot of credit. The players did as well. And it kind of felt like coach speak because the group just kept rotating and changing in the middle of the games. It seemed like they didn't like anybody. But
it was, I mean, genius, man. Yeah, genius.
They figured out this 5-man unit. I mean, you know, Colton Miller, obviously we all knew he's going to start. But, you know, Dylan Parham, a rookie next to him, Andre James at center, Alex Bars, who the hell thought Alex Barr is going to be starting and playing well this season? He's balling out. Jermaine Illuminor has developed into a pretty solid starting right tackle for them. I mean, you got to give that group a lot of credit. As much as we shit on them this offseason and the regime for not making more moves there, you know, they still have their warts in pass protection. Like, they're not the best in pass protection, but they are an elite run blocking unit. Like, they are clearing, like on a 20-yard touchdown run from Jacobs earlier in the game. I mean, you know, Jakob Johnson made a nice block and Foster Moreau and Matt Collins, but I mean, it was a huge hole, you know, up front. And that's been the case on a lot of those. I mean, the 86-yarder last week, they really outperformed expectations. And, you know, you got to give them a ton of credit as much as you do to the skill position guys.
In the passing game, you know, in the first game of the year, Colton Miller had a tough time with Khalil Mack. And today, Mack was a non-factor. So definitely a tip of the cap to Colton as well.
Anytime you have a team that spends this much money on the skill position players, you know, quarterback, receiver, tight end, and then, you know, maybe you have to pay Jacobs, you know, you're going to have to be cheap in some areas, and it helps when you have a coach that can develop offensive linemen to where, you know, you don't have to go out and get that huge free agent. I mean, you know, I think you'd want to spend a little more on offensive line next offseason, but it helps when you have faith in a guy that could be able to develop some, you know, lower draft picks or some guy retread type of guys to be competent in that area.
Hey, Ted, why are the lights changing in your room? Are you at a disco? What's going on? You got a strobe light? What's going on with your... The lights keep changing.
Is it changing? Yeah. I'm just in my living room. Oh,
purple, red, yellow, green. What the fuck's going on?
It's a TV. The TV reflecting.
Ted's going for the moon lighting.
Cool.
Try to seduce you, Vic.
That's working.
With the moon light.
When we look ahead to next season, and we're not ready to start looking
next season. What are you talking about? We're in the freaking playoff race.
No, come on. I'm talking about. I'm talking about Josh Jacobs, and is there any way we can view this team like without him? You know, it's going to cost a lot of money now, the season he's had, but I mean, I just, every game that he has, I can't picture this offense without him. I think they have no choice but to, you know, really sign him to a big deal.
A franchise tag, right? Will he be happy with the franchise tag? I mean, that's, to me, that's the easy solution for them. I'm not sure he'll be happy, but it doesn't really matter. But I can't imagine they give him a long-term contract. But again, we'll see.
He's for sure not walking for nothing. I can say that. You just cannot do that. He's playing. I'll say he's been the best running back in the league this season, in my opinion. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's still leading the league in rushing yards, probably leading the league in scrimmage yards. He's on pace to break the record, the Raiders' single-season rushing record. If he keeps going how he's going, I mean, he's had 600-yard rushing performances already this season. I mean, the efficiency, he was over 5 yards a carry again today. And again, the offensive line is playing well, and they deserve a lot of credit. But it's also just, I mean, you watch him on some of those runs, he's just bouncing off of guys and making something out of nothing in a lot of those. And it's not always a big game. It might be an extra 2 yards, extra 3 yards, extra 4 yards, but that stuff adds up over the course of a contest. And played through calf injury again today. Like, he was questionable to play in this one, and he's showing no signs of slowing down. And that combination, that's what makes the offense, even though they're still shorthanded, you know, I mean, they have to respect him. They have to respect Davante Adams, and it's really a pick your poison situation.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why running back contract is so difficult, even with a guy that, you know, plays as well as Josh Jacobs, is because, you know, like Arif Hassan did a study, and since 2016, backs with average annual value that consumed at least 4% of the cap, only 4 of those guys out of 17 made good on their contracts. It's just difficult for running backs to be consistent year to year because some of their success depends on the offensive line. You know, if there's a drop off in offensive line and don't get blocking, then, you know, it's hard for them to produce. Like Josh Jacobs last season, you know, it's not like he became this much, much better back this season. He couldn't get any blocking last season, and he wasn't productive. And then the second thing you have to consider is health. And there's a point where running backs do fall off, you know, so those are the things you have to consider when looking at running back contracts. But, you know, like you guys said, you know, when you see Josh Jacobs and the way he plays and the difference he makes because of how many tackles he breaks, you know, like I think you have to find a way to bring him back somehow, but you just hope you don't have to give out a huge contract that's maybe too long term, you know. So maybe the franchise tag is the right answer for the team, but you know, who knows if he's gonna be happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, Josh, important thing to keep in mind, he's only 24 years old. Like, he turns 25 in February, but like, even though he's been around for a little bit, if you think about it, like, he's pretty young still. It's not like he's close to 30 or kind of that even late 20s when running backs usually drop off. Like, I think it's pretty reasonable expecting to have another 2, maybe 3 seasons in there where he's performing at a high level. The other thing is this running back market, we said this before, is pretty saturated. Like, Saquon Barkley, Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, like, there's a bunch of guys out there. And so I don't know, like, how many other teams are going to be. I'm sure there's somebody else that wants Josh Jacobs, but I don't know, like, what the price tag is going to be, you know. So franchise tag, like, if you absolutely can't get a deal done, a long-term deal, it's kind of last resort. But maybe they can figure out something where it's like a 2 or 3 year deal with some worked around guarantees to lock him up and avoid having any, you know, morale issues coming into next year.
I didn't realize he was that young. Yeah, I mean, at 24, I mean, you signed him to even if you go 4 year deal. I mean, you're talking about, if you sign him to a 4 year deal, there's probably exit ramps in that deal after 2 or 3 years. But I mean, even if you talk about a 4 year deal, I mean, that's playing out through age 28. Yeah, I mean, that the age factor. And the one thing that has always been kind of talked about him when he came in the league is that, you know, at Alabama, he didn't have a ton of tread on his tires. It's not like he's a guy that was, you know, carrying a huge load there, just the way Alabama, you know, has such a, you know, stable of back. So, yeah, I mean, if you talk about doing a franchise tag, then you're just kind of putting off that decision for another year, and you're probably just tagging him for a year and then maybe letting him walk. But I mean, I think if I'm the Raiders, I have to look into finding a 3 or 4 year deal for him.
Yeah, I think that, you know, he would hit free agency again around 28, still, you know, a couple of years left of a running back's prime, because you think 30 is kind of the age where things go downhill. So I think that's fair. You know, I think that would be a sweet spot, 3-4 years.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. All right, the other person I think we've got to start giving a little credit to, we were really hard on Josh McDaniels. You go back 3 weeks ago, and he lost to a high school coach. He lost to Jeff Saturday, and rightfully so. We ripped him pretty hard. This looked like a coach who at that point, when you combine the way his tenure in Denver had ended, I mean, he had not done a lot of winning. And I don't know, we don't know if something kind of clicked in the way in the locker room, the way Derek Carr called the players out. Maybe he was a little bit calling the coaching staff out. We don't know what happened exactly at that point, but I mean, the way that the team has responded to that whole situation, and I think we've seen some better play calling out of McDaniels. I think the offense has looked a little smoother. You know, we're not ready to say that he's going to be the next great head coach or anything, but I do think he does deserve a little bit of credit for the way they've been able to turn it around.
Didn't somebody call Todd Downing the next Bill Walsh after like a good play calling game that year? You're not ready to call Josh McDaniels the next Bill Walsh yet?
I am not.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was kind of, when they fell behind 10-0, I was kind of interested to see, like, are they going to do it again? Like what they did the first time against the Chargers, just air it out and throw it 40 times trying to, you know, mount a comeback. But, and I think maybe part of what gave them confidence in that was it really wasn't, like, the defense was looking good early on. You know, the reason why they scored a touchdown was offense's fault through a pick six. And so I think that gave them the confidence to stick with the run. I mean, they finished with 29 rushing attempts tonight overall and 30 passes. So it was really about as balanced as you can get in terms of offensive game plan, and kept the Chargers on their toes all the way through. Like every time they sold out on the run, they passed. Every time they sold out on the pass, they ran the ball. Like he's really, and it stems back to Josh Jacobs, the way he's been playing. Like that's kind of unlocked this offense for him. And you have to start imagining, I mean, you know, Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow, they're going to be eligible to be designated for return from IR next week. You know, it's a short week, Thursday, so it's not much practice time. It might be kind of hard for them to get back for the Rams game, but those guys are going to be back soon. And I mean, you start thinking about what this offense could look like with those two pieces added, in addition to the way Josh Jacobs and Devontae Adams are playing, and Derek Carr, he's playing well. The offensive line's holding up. McDaniels is figuring out his play calling groove. Like, this could be a unit that's like, what do you do? Like, how do you stop them? And it's what we were kind of thinking coming into the year, and we could really start to see it coalesce here in these next couple weeks.
I thought the pick six was a bad call. What do you guys think? I thought it was definitely interference. I know they had that flag and they picked it up, but I thought it clearly that Hollins got hit before the ball came in.
Rewatching it, looked like he got there about the same time, I think. Like he started to
making a play on the ball.
Yeah, he started to lunge.
It was borderline.
Yeah, but it was close enough to where it was like, I mean, he hit him in the back of the head, but he like hit him as the ball got there. So I mean, I don't have to not touch you when the ball is there. Like I can smack you upside the head if I want to. Like so.
Well,
you know,
not really.
I mean, not necessarily, but like in terms of like
I mean, you can,
yeah,
but
yeah. Like, I mean, it wasn't really, I didn't think it was PI. Yeah, he made a good play on the ball.
I mean, he has the right to go for the ball too. It's kind of
he doesn't have to wait until like it's in your hands to try to get it. I think it looked like he, because above it kind of looked like he like jumped forward and made contact with him, but I think he was just positioning his body. And so, and I didn't think it was something to harp off of, really. Yeah. I mean, they overcame it.
Without the pick six, and defense really only gave up 13 points. That's you know, pretty great performance against a good quarterback a very good quarterback that, you know, got Keenan Allen back. The offense looks different with Keenan Allen there for sure. And I thought it was pretty funny that Jerry Tillery, you know, had like one of the best games of his career pass rushing against his former team. Like he finally got motivated when he had a revenge game factor going in.
It's always funny, a guy like that, like you're going to be mad playing against this team that cuts you, but like you spend 3.5 years playing for that team, never making any plays, like, and then suddenly like, oh, I'm going to show them what they're missing. Like, nah, if you'd played like that, you would have got cut. But nah, I mean, he's been good for them, but
you know, shouts out to them, but like, we got to give some love to Chandler Jones, man.
That's where we're going.
I mean,
next,
I mean, 3 sacks in the first half, pressure, like quarterback hit, set
deflecting
up
balls. Yeah, yeah, deflecting passes.
He set up the safety, Isaiah, not gonna mess up his last name, but like set him up for a sack even. So like he was balling out. Like we were thinking, I was expecting it anyway, like a big game from Max Crosby because of the Chargers situation at right tackle. But you know, it seems like the Chargers kind of slid their protection to his side, and Chandler Jones.
That's what teams have been doing all year. Yeah. They've been putting their attention on Max Crosby, and he hasn't been doing it. I don't know what.
He broke through today. He was working Jamari Sailor. Like, I mean, he was giving him hell. Like this was the breakout performance. Finally, it took a while, but he came through today.
No doubt, man. I talked to Chandler in Sarasota. He definitely hit me. He's an extremely positive person. He's a very positive person, and he definitely always had faith that he was going to be. I mean, he thought he was playing well, just that he realized he hadn't gotten the numbers, the sacks were coming, but he thought he was contributing, and today he definitely did. I think definitely a guy who players in the locker room respect a lot, and kind of like his leadership, even without the sacks this year, has been good. So I think today was a nice reward for him, and just another sign this team is definitely coming together. And I think the players are very happy for him, and also just for the defense overall today, how they played.
I mean, it just completely changes this defense if teams go into games feeling like they have to worry about both sides. And I think, you know, teams probably were starting to kind of, you know, I mean, yes, maybe Jones had been better. He'd been playing the run well, whatever. He'd better than the numbers indicate. But I mean, when you're an edge rusher with over 100 career sacks and you're 11 games into the season, you got a half sack, you know, you're not doing enough. So, I mean, if this can change the way that the teams have to game plan against them and kind of understand that, like, okay, that guy is now making plays, it can unlock this defense. And the other guy who can help unlock it is Nate Hobbs, getting him back out there. He had the big fumble recovery, you know, and obviously he's just a guy who can make plays for them in that secondary.
Yeah, I think the pass rush, and probably something that has helped with Chandler, is, you know, while Max Crosby has been sensational, like, the interior pass rush had been nothing, like, for most of the season. And like, even in this game, Andrew Billings, who had a big game last week, he was out. And then Jerry Tillery stepped up, and he had a couple quarterback hits today. And so having that interior rush plus having to worry about Max Crosby, like, it's truly just a one-on-one situation with Chandler Jones. And it kind of just opens up everything for him. And so that defensive line can produce this way consistently. Like, that takes a lot off the back end. Because, like, you know, I mean, like, secondary, you know, it's still – It's not great. Like, you know, it's just they don't have great personnel back there, and so they need the pass rush. Like, if they don't get a pass rush, like, they're gonna get fried, you know, or what Keenan Allen thought he was gonna do today, barbecue chicken. But when that pass rush is coming and a quarterback doesn't have any time to throw, it's a lot easier to cover. And so you just kind of see them feeding off of each other. And, you know, this defense, you know, they had a really good performance today. I'm still, you know, They lack some talent, but they do have those guys who have the potential to be difference makers, whether that's Max or Chandler or Nate Hobbs or maybe Devon Diablo when he gets back. Rockison played well today. So, you know, they play complimentary football today. I think it's probably their most complete win as a team so far this season, just when you consider how well they played on both sides of the ball. It was a pretty clean game, not many penalties outside of the turnover. But, you know, it's pretty much an all-around team win today against a team that, you know, is in the playoff hunt.
Playoff hunt? You're using the word playoff hunt? Wow.
I said that against the team that was in the playoff.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, they are. I mean, looking at the thing, I mean, they're two losses back of the current seventh seeded Jets. Obviously, there's still some games left to be played, but they're really not, like, it's only two losses, so it's not that big of a gap. But they pretty much, like, they at most they can lose one more game the rest of the season.
Austin Mock gives them a 5.8% chance. Yeah. Playoffs.
Yeah, so it's better than zero. It's better than zero. Yeah, I think Jerry Tillery is not a guy you want to start, keep him on a field too long, but as a situational pass rusher for, especially for this team that really lacked, you know, any juice inside, that, you know, I think he can make a decent impact. You know, if he's just a third down guy instead of a guy that you want to depend on in first and second down to stop the run, which I don't think he's good at all, but just a guy that could get some push inside, especially if, you know, you get Max Crosby rushing off the edge and Chandler Jones starting to step up, you know, you have somebody inside that could push the pocket. It makes a difference.
And, you know, and now we're going to get more into, you know, Thursday's game. We'll have another podcast later this week. I think the plan, we'll let you guys know about scheduling, but we're going to aim to do a live room probably on Tuesday. But I mean, it's a quick turnaround, but it's the Rams who are, they played okay. You know, they kind of fought hard against the Seahawks today, but you know, it's a, you know, if you're talking about going on the road on a short week, be able to go to LA, we're going to have a nice crowd supporting you against a team that, you know, Matthew Stafford's basically out for the season, sounds like. It's a chance for them to start stringing it together. And, you know, if they get a couple more of these, then, you know, it really could come down to, let's say they go and beat the Rams, and then they've got that Sunday night home game against the Patriots. Josh McDaniels against his old team. That's where it could get interesting. If that's a win, if that's a game that could possibly get them back to 500, then we can start talking about a late December that could be exciting. But I think the next 2 weeks will really tell us if this team has any chance to actually get into the potential playoff picture.
They should beat the Rams. I know it's not really a road game. It's going to be a home crowd. at SoFi Stadium for the Raiders, because that's how it is out there. It's a short week. You know, things can get wonky, but that's a team they should beat for sure. I believe Aaron Donald isn't going to play either in that game. And so, like, I'm hesitant to say, because, like, they've lost, you know, the Colts game, Jaguars game, Cardinals. Like, they've lost games they should have won this season, so it's far from a guarantee. But, like, you know, I mean, you win four in a row, you start, like, again, that confidence I spoke on earlier, it continues to increase. And Patriots are very beatable. Like, Mac Jones has been not good this year. Mac Patricia is calling plays over there, which is still wild to me. And so, like, there's a pretty clear path to 500. After that, you know, I mean, like, even that, well, shit, Jimmy G, we found out today, he broke his foot. He's done for the season. So, like, that 49ers game, you know, they still have a good team. But, like, you know, so you sit there and start looking at it week by week as a Raiders fan, I'm sure. They're starting to feel it. And they go, oh, we can do it again. We can go on a run. And so it's not impossible. I know it's Austin Mock, you know, 5% chance, but they have something to play for. And that's the locker room has something, on a serious note, the locker room has something to aim towards. And the coaching staff, there's a rallying point they can make to keep guys locked in. I think they already are since they won 3 straight, but they can kind of keep this going from here and keep that momentum and keep that level of buy-in towards building something. And so much better situation than just a few weeks ago. And shows how quickly things can change.
Yeah, the team definitely stayed together through the bad losses, through that horrible, you know, trip to Florida, to New Orleans and Jacksonville, which is kind of the down point of the season. They definitely give the leaders in the team credit, give the coaches credit, because they didn't stray too far from the message and from the rallying that they could have the talent to do this, that they have stuck together, and they have. So got to tip your cap to both the coaches and the leaders and the players on this team.
Yeah, I mean, they survived several, like, holy crap, this has to be the low point type of moments this season. Like the Cardinals game, the Colts game, man, you know, like, you just think it can't get worse, and it got worse, but they were able to stick together and get out of it. So it's pretty impressive. And yeah, I mean, they have to beat the Rams. I mean, like, this is not, the Rams don't have Matthew Stafford. Their Wolford hurt his ankle today, the quarterback, you know, so he'll probably play, but he's gonna be hampered. They don't have Cooper Kupp, you know.
Their offensive line has been a mess.
Yeah, I mean, they might have the worst offensive line in the league with how many guys got injured on that line. So this is a team where the defensive, you know, the defense should be able to dominate the offensive line. The offense should be able to run the ball pretty effectively and move the ball against this defense that was really dependent on Aaron Donald, and now they don't have him.
Hey, we might be jinxing them, man. We're
I know. Oh,
I feel
yeah,
like
no.
we're I doing. Know. I feel like we're doing it again. But like, it's...
I mean, he's going to make his pick on Tuesday, but we just need to know who Vic's going to pick, because if Vic picks the Raiders, then that, unfortunately, Raider fans, means that they will lose, because Vic?
I've talked to several fans you know, on my way out here and before and after the game. And
they're asking for favors.
I promised not to pick the Raiders the rest of the year. So I'll pick against them the rest of the year to make sure they can keep winning. So that's my gift to Raider Nation. Merry Christmas.
Wow. Happy Hanukkah. Vic's willing to sacrifice his reputation as a game picker for the Raiders and the Raider
Vic's
fan.
Vic's record on Raider games this year is 2-10. He's not sacrificing anything.
What's the reason for that? The reason for that is because I picked them to win 3 or 4 games in a row and they lost. So I believed in the process. The process took too long for me.
The process
took too long for me to get going. So that's why my record's in the shitter. But it's all good. Life is good. Raiders are back and they're a factor. Fans are happy again. People are singing. It's great.
Well, speaking of singing, what's going on, Vic?
I gotta sing the song. What's "Sail" by AWOL Nation? That's the song.
Yeah, yeah. Are we letting the pipes?
No,
out
I've
tonight?
Never sung in the press box before, right? So I'm not gonna start that trend tonight. The acoustics here are terrible. I'll get some really strange looks from my fellow journalists. So I'm gonna keep my one little shred of dignity that I have in this profession, and I'll do it on the Tuesday show, whatever. I'll sing. I'll practice.
That's a tease.
I'll practice really hard for you guys, and I'll sing it on Tuesday.
This guy. I'm sorry for lying on Twitter, y'all. I thought he was busting out the pipes tonight, man. It's not happening.
No, man. I'm talking to players in the locker room. I can't be preparing my song while I'm talking to guys in the locker room. You gotta focus, man. Focus. I didn't even know the song. I gotta look the song up.
You were not prepared. You people were sending you the link, trying to get you ready for it, and you didn't want to get ready. You didn't believe, but. All right, everybody get ready for Tuesday. Vic, we'll sing.
That's going to be awesome.
We'll take your questions. It's going to
be
incredible. Be fun.
Just can't wait.
All right, everybody. Well, that will wrap up this episode of State of the Nation. We'll be back on Tuesday with a live room. Get you ready for the Raiders taking on the Los Angeles Rams.
Adios.
Later.
You can't get rid of Derek Carr and go get Jimmy G.